Hello, my name is Ursula, and our Bible readings this morning are Psalms 42 and 43. But before we read, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love. Father, in these uncertain times, we become anxious and fearful. Help us to remember always that you are sovereign and in control of all things. Fill our hearts and minds with your peace. Help us to know your presence with us, that we would put our hope in you and praise you for your great goodness to us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. Psalm 42, for the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
A few years ago, I got really lost while doing a hike. It wasn't supposed to be very hard, but the track had become really overgrown and it was pretty hard to see a path. There's a photo of me when it was happy and good. I was up at the top and I was coming back down this different route, and at some point I happened to turn around, and looking back I realized there was no path behind me. I wasn't following a path anymore, and looking in front of me I had no idea what the path in front of me was supposed to be. I was lost and I had no idea how far or long I'd gone off course, and I started actually get a bit panicky after a little while, and I picked up my phone and called my wife just to let her know I'm lost and you might need a call for help pretty soon. Well, eventually, after hours, I did manage to find a way back, and by the time I got to the car I was exhausted and just so thirsty. I'd run out of water hours ago. And as I drove down the road and pulled into a servo at Boona to buy some bottled water, in that moment I imagined what it might be like to really suffer thirst, to be so thirsty but not able to get what the body needs to survive. This is a psalm about thirst. It talks about this deep thirst for God. It's thirst as a spiritual condition. We all go through seasons where we just feel spiritually dry. We feel discouraged or disappointed or sad, and that's part of the ordinary ebb and flow of life. But this psalm actually expresses a kind of spiritual drought. It's a time where God feels distant. And you wonder, God, what are you doing? Where are you in this? What are you meant to do in times like that? Well, today, as we come to this psalm, I first just want to give a bit of an overview of what's going on in this psalm, and then land some points about what it might actually mean for us. So first, what's happened? This psalm doesn't actually give us a lot of specifics, but you can see something has happened. Suffering has entered this fella's life, and to those who are on the outside, it looks like he's been abandoned by God. So you notice in verse 3, these people are mocking him. They say, "Where is your God?" And you get that same taunting question come up again in verse 10. "My foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" So suffering has entered his life. It looks like he's been abandoned by God. And now these people are taunting him and he's got no support. He's away from home and he's longing to return. You can see it there in verse 4. He remembers how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. He remembers those times where he was with God and with others, with his friends and family and community, worshiping God together. But now he's away from home, he's disconnected from community, no friends or support, and surrounded by it, taunting enemies. It's a terrible situation to be in. That's something of the outward circumstance he's in, but what's worse is this inner turmoil he faces. So you can see that there in verse 1. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." He feels like this deer, so desperate for water, so thirsty for God, but God's not there. The river runs dry. There's no water here. Now, he doesn't stop believing in God, but he truly feels God's absent. And he cries out in verse 2, "When can I go and meet with God?" See, he hasn't lost belief, but he's lost the reality of God's presence. And yet, do you notice, he still pours out his soul to God. He's not suffering in silence. He's not bottling his emotions. He's being real about his suffering. He's praying to God. I think we can expect that every Christian will face times like this, when you're suffering deeply, and it's not because of some moral failing or some sin you've committed, but you feel God is distant and you're in this spiritual drought. Sometimes it doesn't feel like churches can be a safe place to suffer like this. It can be really hard sometimes to confess to others, "God feels really distant for me right now." Especially if you're a new Christian, times like this can really shake you. You might wonder what's gone wrong. You can start to doubt. It can really shake your faith. It can be really hard, especially if you're someone who has depression or if you have a friend who does, because you might get lots of advice about things you should be doing. But when you're suffering depression and you're already feeling overwhelmed by burdens, and then, you know, someone comes along and says to you, "Hey, buck up, just trust God," that advice just feels like one more thing you can't do. And it's a really important thing to do. And that just gives you one more reason to beat yourself up. So if you or someone you know suffers depression like this, and there's no energy in the tank, there's no willpower to just buck up, no courage to just get over it, advice is just going to send you digging for resources you just don't have. So if you know someone who's in that place, do pray for them, do listen to them, and do speak about God. Speak about who he is. Speak about Jesus and his goodness and kindness and love. but resist that temptation to burden them with things they just need to do. But there are times when you're suffering and crisis has entered your life and it feels like God is distant and you're in this spiritual drought. And if that's you, this psalm does teach something about how to suffer well. It doesn't offer simple solutions. There's no quick fix or silver bullet or easy answers. But it does teach us something about how to suffer in a way that honors God. Because in times like this, we do make choices about how we enter into the suffering, where the habits of our heart and mind begin to surface and we feel our character is being exposed. I think there's one challenge this psalm puts before us. Firstly, I think it challenges us to be real about our emotions, to be real with God. But it also challenges us to not surrender to our emotions. To be real about our emotions, but not surrender to them. Because sometimes emotions rise up and they overwhelm us. They're like that indicator light on the dashboard. They're telling me there's something wrong. There's something going on deep in my heart. And I can listen to my feelings, but I don't need to surrender to my feelings. I am not just how I feel. I think we can see that here in this psalm. You can see he's being real about his emotions. But do you notice as well, he resists the temptation to just dwell on his feelings. So we see that first here in verse 5. It's this repeated refrain that keeps coming back. He says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." See, he's facing his emotions, he's pouring out his soul, but he's also fighting to keep orienting his mind towards God. See that as well in verse 6. Look, he says, "I'm feeling downcast, therefore I will remember you." See, he keeps fighting to orient his mind back to the character of God. So he's swimming in this sea of suffering. The waves are crashing all around him. He feels like he's going under. And then his hand grasps something firm, something solid, a rock in the stormy seas. It's the unfailing love of God. See it in verse 8. "By day, the Lord directs his love." It's the love of God. It's no mere rock. It's an island. It's a mighty fortress. And suddenly a song wells up and he starts to sing. "At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." You know, in times of suffering, you may not have any power to change the situation, but you can make choices to change how you think about the situation. We can make choices about what will fill our mind, what things we will dwell on, the things that we let enter our mind. You know, this is how we guard our heart. We make choices, we make decisions about what enters our mind and the things that we dwell on. We can make choices to listen to ourselves, but not surrender to ourselves. How does this psalmist do that? Well, he preaches to himself. Do you notice that? This refrain that keeps coming back, do you notice he's not talking to God and he's not talking to the people? He's actually talking to himself. He's speaking words to his own soul. He's preaching to himself. He's not beating himself up. He's not saying, "What's wrong with you? Why are you sad?" But he is asking questions. You know, from the moment I wake up in the morning, there's a self that's talking. It's telling me about who I am, about who God is. It's telling me about what others are thinking about me. And sometimes this voice is affirming, sometimes it's encouraging. You know, sometimes the voice is terrible. It tears me down, it beats me up, it criticizes me. There's a self that's talking all the time, and I'm listening. This is Martin Lloyd-Jones. He's a famous pastor from a couple of hundred years ago. And he's got this famous quote from a famous book he wrote. It's called Spiritual Depression. And he was actually writing about this very psalm. And here's what he says about this self-talk. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? See, the self is always talking, and we're always listening. In times of spiritual drought, what's your self-talk saying? And do you know how to not just listen to yourself, but also talk to yourself? To do what this psalmist is just persisting to do, to keep asking questions. Why are you downcast? See, this isn't about burying your feelings, but it's also not surrendering to your feelings. Is this easy? No way. How hard is it to do this? How hard is it to talk words of truth to yourself? But you know, we do have resources that this psalmist didn't have. Because the big problem we face in times of suffering is we truly believe God has given up on me. That's it. God has abandoned me. We really feel that's true, but at the cross of Jesus, we see it's not true. God has not abandoned us. He's not abandoned this world. At the cross, we see Jesus. He's the one who truly cried out to God in his moment of suffering and anguish as he was surrounded by enemies who mocked and taunted him. And as he suffered for our sins and cried out to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus is the one who suffered in our place. He was forsaken by God so that we will never be forsaken. He was cut off by God, but in Christ we see the full measure of God's love for us. In Jesus' suffering, we see the lengths that God went to reach out to us. God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. In Christ, God is with us, always. By his Spirit, he's made his home in my heart. I am not forgotten. I am not forsaken. That's his promise. As we close now, I just want you to hear God's promise to us. It comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Would you just let these words dwell in your heart now? Would you let these words enter your minds? And perhaps would you commit to dwelling on these? This is God's promise. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we just want to come to you now. And we ask for your help to just orient our minds towards you. Lord, would you help us to dwell now on your character, on your goodness and kindness and unfailing love? For what kind of father would send his only son? What kind of God would give up Christ Jesus, would let him die and suffer? Lord, at the cross, we see your unfailing love for us. We see your great plan and purpose to bring us home to you. Father, we are not forgotten. We are not abandoned. Lord, would you just help us now to know your Spirit is with us? And would you help us to seek you in prayer? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.